Welcome to the Aquarimax Audio Show with Russ and Kim. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 279, recorded January 4th, 2016. I said the year right. You should give me points.
You officially have received 16 points.
That's pretty
year
good.
In this millennium.
That's pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, Happy New Year, by the way.
Happy New Year!
For those of you who it is a new year for, if you're on the same calendar we are.
Most of...
But there's lots of people in the world. We have listeners in Asia who, you know, they have New Year's that's different from ours.
You can just say Happy New Year.
I know.
It's okay.
Ah, there's funny noises going everywhere attacking us.
See, this is the... This is all the alarm saying, just say Happy New Year. It's okay.
Okay, I'm not entirely sure that's what they mean, but we're going to...
Oh, I am sure.
We're going to pretend those
didn't
happen.
You can trust my sureness.
We're just going to keep going and pretend those noises didn't happen.
Those are not the noises you're looking for.
Move along.
Okay.
Yeah.
The contributors that we're looking for, though, are Jeremiah in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Marin in Melbourne, Australia, and us.
Yeah. We wanted to talk about a couple of highlights of our last aquarium visit.
Did some new stuff. It was neat.
So.
Okay. Should we go to Jeremiah first?
Yes, we should.
Okie dokie. He says, hello, Aquarimax. Hope you had a good holiday, and I hope... Oh, thank you. He said he hopes I feel better. I'm doing better. Thank you.
And we did have a good holiday.
We did. It was nice.
Despite the illnesses that plagued us.
Rampant.
Yeah.
Yes, but it was still good. He says, I wanted to say thanks for providing me some info on where to start my research on Oscars. I found it very helpful. Good. I especially didn't know about their potential for being tank busters. I'll be sticking to a more functional setup. No plants in the tank, and I think for hardscape I'll go with cork bark silicone to slate tiles. This is similar to what I did for my 20-gallon guppy tank, but I'd weigh them down with tile instead of siliconing them to the bottom. This way I'll be able to move them if needed for maintenance, but the Oscar won't be able to pick them up. At least I should think so. This may warrant some observation.
Sounds like a good plan.
Mm-hmm. I did know about them being messy eaters, which is no issue since I prefer using a Python water changer anyway. Using an oversized filter is definitely a good idea. I don't know if I'll try aquaponics or not since I seem to have a black thumb. Almost all the plants in the guppy tank died. I think the dirt got used up. Interesting. It can get used up?
Yeah. Basically,
they use all the nutrients in it?
Some of the nutrients in the dirt get used up. It depends on the formulation you use and various things, but yeah. Particularly, their bacterial action that occurs when you do a dirted tank early on that releases a lot of CO2.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that period, when that decomposition process slows down, there's a lot less CO2. And there can still be some of the other nutrients left, but it does change the balance of things.
Yeah. There you go. He says, as far as food, it sounds like an Oscar would be willing to help me manage my hobby roach collection when needed, or even potentially taking unwanted frozen thawed mice when my snakes are being fussy. Not that I'd want to overfeed, of course. I'd imagined it'd also take locusts if or when I'm able to successfully breed those. Thanks to a local friend, I have access to legal locusts.
Yeah, you'd probably be able to use some of those things, considering that they're not very picky and they don't mind crunchy food.
The bones?
Little like crayfish, you know.
I was thinking the mice and
so,
the roaches.
And, you know, you wouldn't want to give them a lot of mice, but I imagine a small fuzzy or something might, once in a while, might be okay. And I think they'd probably be able to take roaches more often than that.
Okay. He says, I definitely plan on more research. I'm hoping to be a first-time homeowner this year, so we'll have room. I hope that works out for you, because it's so awesome.
Yeah, we've really been enjoying it for the past 6 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been almost a year since we found this place, isn't it?
It's true. We found it originally with our real estate agent in January.
Yeah. It's been nearly a year.
That's pretty crazy.
We should have a celebration.
We should. We should have a party.
Anyway, I hope that does work out.
Yeah. I think Oscars are my wife's favorite fish, and that adds another level of fun for me. My creepy crawlies are all a lot of fun, but watching her baby talk my blue tongue this morning was really cute, and I can easily see her doing that with an Oscar.
Yeah, that's definitely a dimension. It's fun to watch Kelly with her crested gecko, because it's hers, and she likes it.
It's mine, and I like it, and she likes me back.
Yeah.
She really does. She's very affectionate.
She's
the other day,
funny.
I opened the terrarium, and before I could even reach in to pick her up, she jumped out to me.
Yeah.
It was very cute. He says, the part about people eating Oscars made me sad just because they are so smart. I guess people feel the same about me eating cows or pigs, though, so that's somewhat relative.
Good point.
It's true. We can only eat the animals that we eat because we're culturally used to eating them.
And because it often, many of us are only able to do it because we don't have a connection with the animal beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Like, I could never, I can't eat octopus. They look at, you know, when they would catch them in Hawaii and they'd look up at you from the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And you just knew, they knew exactly what was going on, and they were looking at you, and they were so aware.
So, for the record, we didn't eat any of the octopus in Hawaii. We never caught them either.
No.
I accompanied our friend who would catch them occasionally so I could go snorkeling and see things that he could see, because he could find octopus, but I never ate any of them.
It's too sad.
Mm. Before that, I had eaten octopus, but I don't think I could now.
I don't think I could either. So I'm glad that was helpful for you, Jeremiah. And good luck with the house. Should we go to Marin in Melbourne, Australia?
Let's do it.
They say, hello again. Thank you for your help with my questions last week. I have reduced the food, and that seems to have helped with the mysterious white worms. Thank you also for your help with the plant situation. That was an aluminum plant in my previous photo. It is gone now, and so is the mystery why it was failing to grow so miserably. It was sold as an aquatic plant, and she says in parentheses, why? I am assuming that it is in demand because they need to be replaced all the time. The local store has masses of plants I have now learned are not suitable for underwater life. I have been able to replace them with hopefully more suitable plants. Anubias nana on the driftwood, and what I hope is pink baby tears around the edges, and a few rush plants. Green plant in the back is plastic, though. I will keep looking for a real green thing to replace it. And she says, see the new photos.
Which I have here. Okay. Yeah. So, let's look.
I haven't finished it yet.
I wanted to talk about the other part first. The bit about why they're selling it as aquatic plants, and I think she's hit the nail on the head. They're sold as aquatic plants because they can look good for a time underwater. But then, of course, they need to be replaced. And people in the modern culture where so many things are disposable, people
don't expect them to last very
long. As a business model, you know, a lot of these stores will sell them with that in mind. Oh, it's a disposable plant, so people are going to come back and get it after 6 months, wondering what they did to kill it, when the only thing they did was keep it under water.
Try to keep it in the water.
Yeah. And that's exactly it. It's because it is sold as a disposable plant, even though I don't like that particular system.
I don't think that's very good either.
There are quite a number of plants like that. Were you able to find out what the rush-like plant was? There's a couple of rush-like plants out there that are not particularly suitable for aquariums. So hopefully when you have is... from the photos, I wasn't sure what it was. But mondo grass is one that's often sold that doesn't do well when it's completely immersed in water, but I'm not sure what that one is. Anyway.
We'll put pictures up and see if anybody knows what the plants are.
Yeah.
Herbeta is being very photogenic in the pictures.
That's true. And the Anubias nana is in a good spot. It looks good. I think it'll do well there. So,
last paragraph of the email?
Yeah.
Okay. I did have a bit of a setback shortly after my last email. You may notice the lack of little red snails in the tank. We had a heat wave, and I did not anticipate how hot my tank would get, especially when the air conditioning is not working. It got over 42 degrees Celsius outside, and all my snails died. The betta, however, survived long enough for me to do a water change and add cooler water. Thanks for the help, Marin from Melbourne, Australia.
Well, I'm glad the betta's doing okay.
They can usually handle it hotter, right?
Betta's do pretty well with, you know, some heat. They wouldn't do well at that, you know, outdoor temperature. If the water temperature were that temperature for a long time, it would be a problem, but they can stand heat better than some other creatures. But that's sad, and it's kind of surprising, because I've seen snails survive some pretty strong heat, so that's a little surprising, but it's too bad. And I'm glad the betta is doing fine. I hope that you're able to find some other plants that are doing well. I'm glad that Anubias is set up and doing well, and hopefully we'll hear good things. It's also good to hear that the worms are no longer so much of a problem.
Yes,
so
that's good.
Definitely things are on the right track.
You want to tell them about the aquarium?
Yes. We, during the holidays, were able to visit our local aquarium again. That is, what, 40 minutes, an hour from us, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And we saw some really amazing things. One thing they have down there is a deep sea exhibit, which we may or may not have mentioned earlier.
One of my favorite bits. I think we talked about it the first time.
And there are the deep sea isopods.
Oh, can I tell a story about the isopods?
Sure.
Okay. We went with Russ's brother and his kids.
And my parents.
Yeah, and his parents. So, you know, our little nieces and nephews were there. I guess I shouldn't call them. Well, one little nephew, one nephew who's taller than me. But our kids were telling his kids about the deep sea isopods.
It was before they got there.
Before they got there. And I think it was Kate, right? So how old is Kate?
How old
six,
is she?
Seven?
She's, yeah, around seven.
Around six or seven. And they got to the tank, and she couldn't quite remember what they were called, so she points at it, and she says, "Look, the iPods!"
That was funny.
It was cute. But the really amazing thing is that Russ looked into a tank and said, "I have no idea what that is."
It's true.
I don't know if that I've ever seen him do that. I mean, usually he says, "Oh, okay, I don't know exact species, but it's like this family, or it's related to this, or la 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 la." And he was just like, "I have no clue what that is
at all."
It was a very novel experience. So we asked the people who were working there.
Yeah, and it turns out that this bizarre fish, well, before I say the name, we should set the stage a little bit.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. This bizarre fish, it looks like one fish wearing another fish costume on top of it, or...
Yes, it looked like if a clownfish dressed up as a crustacean for Halloween.
Yeah. Or almost like a... If you had a clownfish put a seahorse head, a disproportionately large seahorse head on top of itself.
It was weird.
And the way it moves, in a general appearance of it as it's moving, you almost think it's a hermit crab.
Yeah, it doesn't really swim.
It doesn't really swim. It sort of crawls along.
Its fins aren't, like, the rays aren't all connected.
And its pectoral fins.
They're almost like fingers, and it, like, kind of walks, scoots along on these little fingers.
Mm-hmm. So the species I'm talking about is a grunt sculpin.
You should go look it up, because
really
it's weird.
Surprised me. Actually, I took a short video of this
creature. Oh, that's true. We'll put the video
as
up.
As it's moving.
So you can see it.
Excuse me. Thank you. And it's so crazy. It's almost indescribably strange. So part of the reason it looks so weird is because you can see coloration underneath it that looks kind of like a Pericula clownfish.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's a completely different coloration in the rest of the fish that almost appears as if it's covering up what's below it.
It's really bizarre.
So,
but it was kind of cool because, hey, we learned something new.
Yeah. And the I was able to catch some of the locomotion of this fish on the video. It's a short video, but we're going to post it to the Aquarimax YouTube channel and put a link up on the show page, probably on the Facebook page as well, so you can check it out. It was truly bizarre.
I really enjoyed
meeting such a strange fish that, you know, I've never seen anything like it. So it was fun.
We'll put it up for you guys. Was there anything else you want to talk about from the aquarium?
Let's see. There was another fish. You like the greenlings.
Oh, yes. I found out about greenlings. I don't know why they call them greenlings, though, because at least these ones, the stripes were red and not just like... So many times in animals, they call it red, but it's really like a dark orange. This was like you take a Crayola marker and it's red. But in... Do they count as stripes? Or are they too wide to be stripes? Are they bands? What did they count as?
You could consider those stripes, I guess. Okay. I would like bands better, maybe. But
okay,
yeah.
Bands. Vertical bands.
I guess they would be bars, technically.
Bars. Okay, bars.
They're not stripes, yeah, sorry.
Okay. These red bars, but they're apparently called greenlings. So maybe they were named by a colorblind person. I don't know. Most critter names don't really make sense.
Really?
Yeah. Well, maybe not most, but a lot of them don't make any sense, especially when they name them for colors.
Well, that's true enough.
anyways, it was fun.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll put that picture up. Oh, and we also got to see the Nautilus, the chambered Nautilus, being active. I got a short video of that too, and it was really fun. They
you
put a
put that
stick
one up too?
In. Yeah, they put a stick into the tank, and one of the Nautilus went over and grabbed onto it with its tentacles and stuff, which is the most active I've ever seen the Nautilus. So.
Usually they just kind of sit there.
Yeah. So that was fun too. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'll post those two up, and I think that's all for this week.
So in the meantime,
may the fish
be with you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. To leave comments or questions that could be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.